hop in really quick to let y'all know that I'm so sorry about last week. Last Friday, I honestly thought I was going to be able to upload this episode, but I did not plan my upload the right way. I didn't plan correctly, and I got all jumbled up in my fun. I was having so much fun last weekend that I completely forgot that I was supposed to upload an episode, and I don't know what else to say. I'm so sorry, you guys. But this Friday, I'm going to be uploading two episodes, okay? You guys get two episodes this Friday. So I hope that makes up for the missed episode. I hope you guys are not too mad at me. I really am sorry. And also, you guys, please interact with the Instagram page. If you don't know that Heinous Belief has an Instagram page, go interact with it, please. Whatever questions you have, whatever comments you want to make about the case, at least until the Discord is open, until you have access to the Discord, have your conversations over there and leave the 5-star reviews for the 5-star reviews. Just leave the reviews for the reviews and have the conversations on the Instagram page until the Discord comes. Okay, that's all the announcement I had. I'm gonna get out of here. Thank you so much for your support. I love y'all. Bye. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Heinous Beliefs. This is a podcast where we break down some of the darkest crimes influenced by religion and belief systems. I'm your host, Rhea, and today's story, this one is going to leave you shaking your head because it's a wild mix of family, faith, and some of the most disturbing parenting choices I've ever come across. But first, I want to give a huge shout out to all of you listening, sharing, supporting the podcast. Seriously, y'all are amazing. Thank you so much. If you haven't already, make sure to follow whatever podcast platform you're listening on and leave a review. Spread the word, because trust me, these are the kind of stories that people want to listen to. Now, before we jump in, y'all know I have to give the disclaimer, okay? This episode involves discussions of child abuse, neglect, and religious manipulation. Is a tough one, so listener discretion is advised. You can skip it, all right? If at any point you feel like it's too much, feel free to pause, take a break, and even, skip episode if you feel like it, all right? But if you're gonna stick around, listener discretion is advised, okay? All right, y'all. Get your tea, get your coffee. Let's get into it. You ever scroll through YouTube and stumble on those family vloggers? The ones that are all dressed up nice and they have well-behaved kids, picture-perfect homes, well-dressed. The parents who seem to have it all together. That was Ruby Frank. She was the type of mom who made you feel like maybe you weren't doing enough, right? You could be doing more. Like, all you had to do was follow her morning routines that she already curated for you, or her biblical discipline methods, you'd have obedient, God-fearing children. For years, Ruby ran the YouTube channel 8 Passengers, showcasing wholesome life as a big Mormon family in Utah. She wasn't just a mom, she was a momfluencer, okay? Brands sent her PR packages, other parents looked to her for advice, and her videos ranked in millions of views. She had the whole faith and family brand locked in. A devout LDS mother raising 6 kids with strict rules, biblical discipline, and moral lessons for the camera. At first, it all seemed innocent enough, right? She would film her family trips, birthday celebrations, and faith-based parenting tips. But the longer people watched, the more they started picking up on disturbing patterns. Ruby didn't just believe in discipline, she believed in control. And not just regular take away your iPad kind of control. We're talking straight up psychological and physical torment disguised as love, right? Tough love. Her kids would get extreme punishments for minor infractions like denial of meals, forced to sleep on the floor, or publicly humiliated on camera. And y'all, it wasn't just subtle. This woman straight up was admitting to child abuse in her vlogs, okay? In one video, she casually mentioned that her 6-year-old daughter, Eve, had packed her own lunch for school. And when she forgot, instead of packing something for her real quick, Ruby let her starve. Like her daughter left her lunch at home, right? Because she packed it herself. So she forgot it maybe like on a table or something. And instead of taking food to her, Ruby let her be hungry in school. Ruby looked dead serious when she said it was a learning opportunity because in her mind, suffering builds character, okay? And if you think that's bad, buckle up because it gets worse, much, much, much worse. There was a moment that really made people stop and say, hold up, this is not normal, okay? This is not okay. It was when Ruby admitted on video that she left her son Chad at home alone for days as a punishment. No food, no contact, just total isolation. And y'all, it wasn't some teenager sneaking out and getting grounded. This was a child. People started calling her out. Comment sections flooded with concerned viewers asking about her kids. But instead of backing down, Ruby doubled down and she told people that if they didn't agree with her parenting methods, they could leave. They didn't have to be on her page, right? She framed her extreme punishments as part of her faith, as someone God had called to do this, right? Someone had called her to show others how to raise their children in the Lord. She was basically an example, right? God was directing her on what to do. She was chosen. They always are. They're always chosen. And it wasn't just her own twisted beliefs either. She had help from a quote-unquote mentor, okay? And it wasn't just her own twisted beliefs. This was coming from a mentor. Mm-hmm. Jody Hildebrandt. If you don't know that name, you're about to, because Jody wasn't just Ruby's friend. She was her spiritual guide, her counselor, and the person who pushed Ruby deeper and deeper into something even more dangerous than extreme parenting and religious fanaticism. So Jody was the founder of Connections, a supposed mental health coaching program that operated under the guise of helping families heal. But in reality, it was a breeding ground for control, manipulation, and psychological abuse. The teachings were harsh. Obedience was everything. And Jody thought that if kids disobeyed, even in the smallest ways, they needed to suffer for it, to atone, to learn. Ruby bought in completely because she also thought the same. She wasn't just a strict mom anymore. She was a soldier in Jody's twisted army. Over time, she cut herself off from anyone who didn't align with Jody's teachings. Isolation. Her husband, Kevin Frank, was pushed out of the picture. Her older children who started resisting, they were labeled as wicked and manipulative for questioning her authority. By the time 2023 rolled around, Ruby and Jody had created their own little cult-like bubble, one where suffering was seen as a path to righteousness and where abuse was disguised as discipline. And soon it would all come crashing down. Now let's talk about Connections. This was Jody's coaching program, quote unquote, right? It's supposed to be for mental health. So Jody's coaching program is almost insulting to actual life coaches because this was straight up indoctrination, repackaged as self-improvement. Jody had convinced people, mainly struggling parents, that she had the key to fixing their wayward children. And her method, extreme discipline, fear, control, and obedience at all costs. Jody wasn't just offering parenting advice. She was promoting a twisted, ultra-conservative Mormon adjacent ideology that saw sin and evil lurking everywhere, okay? Everything was evil. Anything that questioned her belief or what she and Jody were talking about was evil and wicked everywhere. Everywhere she looked, even her own kids. To her, kids weren't innocent. They were manipulative, deceitful, and in constant need of correction. And correction in her eyes meant breaking them down mentally, emotionally, and even physically. She preached that children, yes, even toddlers, others were fully responsible for their own suffering. If they were struggling, if they cried, if they acted out in any way, it wasn't because they were children learning how to navigate the world. It was because they were defying their parents, by extension, defying God. So Jody thought that parents should never comfort their children when they're in distress, that showing them kindness would enable manipulation. She also thought that children needed to earn their parents' love, not just receive it unconditionally, because they don't deserve that, right? Of course not. And the way to earn it was absolute obedience. No mistakes, no backtalk, no emotions that Jody deemed unacceptable. Otherwise, they needed to be punished harshly. And Ruby, she didn't just agree, she became one of Jody's most devoted followers. And the only way to earn it was absolute obedience, no mistakes, no backtalk, no emotions that Jody deemed unacceptable. Otherwise, they needed to be punished harshly. Evan Frank was labeled as weak because he wasn't fully on board with the whole harsh punishment thing, but he just kind of stayed there because he didn't want to lose his family. He was very much complacent. I'm sorry, I'm not going to sugarcoat with this man. You're a grown adult. You saw that shit happen and you could have done something. Anyway, her older children started questioning her though. Instead of recognizing their fear and pain, she cracked down even harder on them. She started isolating her kids, making them cut ties with friends, relatives, anyone who might challenge her authority. By the time 2023 rolled around, Ruby and Jody had created their own little cult-like bubble. Now, this is where things turn from concerning to straight up horrifying. A moment that had neighbors, law enforcement, and even seasoned investigators absolutely shaken. It's August 30th, 2023. It's a quiet, scorching morning in Ivins, Utah, a small town where people don't expect to wake up to a horror story. But that day, something unimaginable happened. A frail, malnourished 12-year-old boy who was so weak he could barely stand somehow managed to escape from his house of nightmares. His body was so bruised up, his ribs were protruding from his skin, he was starving. Worst of all, his ankles and wrists were wrapped in duct tape, evidence that this wasn't just neglect, this was captivity. Desperate and disoriented, this little boy stumbled down the street until he reached a neighbor's door. He knocked and begged for food and water. Can you imagine that moment? A child so desperate, so weak, and willing to put his faith in the hands of a complete stranger just to sip some water. I'm sorry, beliefs are never gonna make sense to me. The neighbor takes one look at him and immediately panics, okay? This kid isn't just hungry, he's on the verge of death. They don't waste a second. 911 is called, and when police arrive inside the home, law enforcement discovered another child just as abused as the other one. Open wounds all over their bodies, their small frame show clear signs of long-term physical torture. The house wasn't just a home, it was a prison. No food, no basic necessity, only suffering. And whose house was it? Jody's house. Turns out Ruby had left two of her children with Jody for disciplinary reasons. And when I say disciplinary, I don't mean grounding them or taking away their privileges. I mean full-blown sadistic torture. Investigators later pieced together a gut-wrenching timeline. These kids had been subjected to starvation, isolation, and even physical restraints for months. Not days, not weeks, months. And you want to know something even sicker? Ruby knew. Of course she knew. She knew. She put them there. She knew exactly what was happening because she believed in it, okay? This wasn't a case of overwhelmed mom making a terrible mistake and, you know, miscalculating. This was calculated, religiously justified abuse. That's what this was. When the story broke, the public was horrified. The most shocking part, the signs had been there all along. And even somehow, these kids had suffered in silence for years before anyone stopped it. I'm still gonna call on that dad. I'm sorry. That dad, you're rubbing me wrong. You're rubbing me the wrong way. How did you not care about what was going on with your kids? Like, I get it. Oh, she was in a cult. She was isolating herself. She wasn't talking to you, blah, 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 blah. All you gotta do is take your kids and move the fuck on, sir. Take your kids and go. Because when she took these two kids from you, you didn't die. You didn't care. You didn't go look for them. You did not die. Right? Y'all, I watched the interview and I'm sorry, but I don't want to victim blame this man. I really don't. But in that interview, he said she used his family against him and he just didn't want to lose his family, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But she took two of your children away from you. Two. What were you doing? It doesn't seem like that really bothered you, right? Because you're saying, well, you know that she was already doing this to these children while you're living with her, while you're communing with her, while you live in the same home. And when she takes them away and doesn't bring them back for weeks, you don't say anything. I'm so confused. At least you didn't do enough. I'm gonna say it blatantly. You did not do enough for those children. Because baby girl, I will crawl on gravel if I did not know where my daughter was. I will crawl on concrete floors if I needed to do that to go find my kids. I don't care what you're talking about, where you think you took them for disciplinary nonsense. This is crazy. You should have went to go find those children. And I said what I said. You should have went to go find them. You should have done more. Okay, that's it. So the question remains though, how many other children right now are living through the same nightmare? Behind the scenes, behind closed doors, people who claim to be doing quote unquote God's work. When Ruby Frank was arrested, she showed no remorse, not a shred of guilt, no tears, no breakdown. No, I can't believe this happened, nothing. Instead, she doubled down on what she did. When officers questioned her about the abuse, she straight up justified that shit, claiming her kids needed to be corrected and that it was God's will. Imagine that. This woman is in cuffs. Her kids are fighting for their lives and she's sitting there acting like she did nothing. This was God's work. And Jody, same energy, not a flicker of shame. She had this airy, almost smug attitude and like she truly believed that she was a victim in this, okay? As if the world just didn't understand her methods. Police confronted her with evidence, the children that were malnourished, the wounds, and the makeshift prison that they had been kept in. She didn't crack at all. She didn't care. She didn't flinch. And she was committed to her delusions. That's what made this even more terrifying. These women truly believed that they were right. And fortunately, the trial was quick. There was no drawn out legal battle, no high profile defense trying to spin a narrative. By December 2023, both Ruby and Jody pled guilty to aggravated child abuse charges. And listen, when I say the sentencing was, these kinds of cases usually end up with a slap on the wrist, okay? Maybe a few years in prison, parole, probation, but this judge was not playing with this girl, okay? They were sentenced to 4 consecutive prison terms, up to 30 years each, meaning they were looking at spending decades behind bars. I'm okay with that. The system actually got this one right this time, okay? And honestly, good. I'm okay with it, like I said, because these weren't just bad moms making poor choices. They were calculated, they were cruel, and they hid behind religion to justify it. But the backlash did not stop there. The people that followed them on 8 Passengers were horrified, questioning how they ever supported Ruby in the first place. Old clips resurfacing, videos where people, you know, used to brush off some things, you know, strict parenting, blah, blah, blah. People just, you know, didn't really read too much into it. Now, they look like evidence. Reddit and TikTok blew up with deep dives, breaking down every single red flag. And yeah, they all were ignored earlier before all of this came out. If that little boy did not come out of that house, I don't even want to think about it. If that boy did not come out of that house, yeah, no one would be looking at any of these videos because, you know, yeah. And then there was the question of Kevin Frank, Ruby's husband. Where was he in all of this? Did he know? Was he complacent? Or was he just another victim of Jody's brainwashing? He claimed he had no idea what was happening, that he was blindsided, but the internet was not buying it. I ain't buying it either. Okay. How do you live in a house where kids are being starved, beaten, isolated, and you just don't notice? Yeah, sure. Tell your mama, don't tell me. Even the Mormon church was put under a microscope. While they publicly distanced themselves, people started asking uncomfortable questions. How much did the LDS's teachings play into Ruby's mindset? Was there, you know, another reason why she did this? Was this just one extreme event? Was it part of a larger issue within the high control religious committees? I don't know. We never know. I mean, actually, we do know. We do know it's a problem. So let's not pretend, right? Yeah, okay. At the end of the day, Ruby and Jody are exactly where they belong, behind bars for years and years and years to come. Thank you very much. I'm okay with that. And those kids are looking better. They're thriving. So I'm glad. I'm glad that they're able to recover. I'm pretty sure they're going to be needing extensive therapy and long-term care. But, you know, we'll take the win. I take the win that these children were able to actually get out of this. Like that boy saved himself. That is bravery. That's courage. For that little boy to be brave enough to walk out of that house and go find help, man, it's so gut-wrenching to think about that little boy. If he did not walk out of that door, if he did not come out of that house, what would have happened to them? Like, they were quite literally on the verge of death. So just maybe one more week, one more day. If he did not walk out of that door, I can't imagine. Anyway, y'all, what do y'all think about this case? What do y'all think about the dad? What is your opinion on that father? I want to know. Please, wherever you're listening, try to put it in the chat somewhere. Or you can go on the Instagram page and look for the pictures for this episode and tell me what you think about their dad. Because I'm still so confused. How did you live in that condition and do nothing? Because you weren't the one being beaten and all of that. I mean, I guess maybe if he was getting, I don't know, man, I'm sorry. There's no leeway I can give him here. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't have it. Maybe y'all can help me out. Y'all can help me out in the comments. Go on the Instagram page and tell me what you think about the dad. Maybe you can change my mind, but I don't know. Because this wasn't just a case of bad parenting. This was indoctrination. It took time, right? It took time over and over again for this woman to do this. The signs were there, y'all. The signs were there. But people ignored them because faith-based abuse is often looked at as nothing. It's often hidden under the guise of discipline or righteousness. Y'all will make this make sense for yourselves just so you can abuse people. Anyway, y'all, that's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for staying till the end. If you're still here, I really do appreciate y'all. I don't know how many times I'm going to keep saying it, but I'm going to keep saying it until I can't say it no more. If this story shook you like it shook me, please share it. There are more people that could be talking about this stuff. Make sure to follow Heinous Beliefs on Instagram or on all the podcast platforms you're listening to podcasts on. Also, make sure you're looking out for the subscriptions. If you would like 2 episodes a week, you can't wait for the 1 episode every week. There's a subscription option coming on Apple Podcasts. And I think also, I can't remember the other one, but I'll let y'all know. But right now, it's going to be on Apple Podcasts for sure. Oh, Patreon. I remember. Patreon. So we're going to have an option for Patreon and Apple Podcasts where you get an extra episode on Wednesdays. Okay. It's going to be popping up really soon. So look out for that. All right, y'all. Thank you so much again. Stay safe. Stay skeptical. And as always, question everything. Bye, y'all.